This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I would like you to Google something right now because I just saw his comment, and I'm going to get Noodles to read it out loud once Joe from the Bridge posts it. Hayes, just Google right now on your little computer in front of you, Zach Greinke's career earnings, okay? Zach Greinke's been a pitcher for a long time. He's been with the Royals twice, I think. He's been with the Athletics. The Diamondbacks, I think he was out there for a bit. Did you Google his career earnings?
Yeah. Do you want me to open it up and find out exactly what they are?
He's probably made, has he made $100
million? All day. Career earnings, Zach Greinke. He's been a $20 million pitcher for a long time.
Yeah, I'm just opening this up. Let me get to the bottom here. Oh, yeah. Okay, I have it. Do you want me to announce it to the world?
Of course. Address the nation.
All right. Total cash, addressing the nation, $277,674,948.
All right. Noodles, Joe from the Bridge, post the pic in the comment from Zach Greinke, and I want Noodles to
read this comment. So he goes, I like the guacamole, but I don't really love the guacamole, so I get it when I feel like it. They changed their guacamole from $1.50 to $1.80. So, I mean, $1.50 is already pretty darn high. So they change it to $1.80. I'll never get it again.
Wow.
Guacamole.
So 30 cents. He's a man of principle based on 30 cents.
That guy's made over $200 million. And because he doesn't love guac, it goes to 180. Zach Greinke says, no way.
Out of principle, man. That is wild. $277
million. So he's closer to $300
million. He's closer to $300 million, and 30 cents is his. He can't do it, man.
That's the level.
Drop dead point in negotiations is 30 cents for guacamole.
It's a principle thing for him.
Yes.
That's the scary part.
Which I actually appreciate. I think it's crazy. I don't know how true it is, but you're allowed to be principled even if you got $200 million in the bank.
Dude, he probably lives, you would walk into his house and think it's just your uncle Marty's house.
Yeah.
Like he's probably got the most normal setup.
I remember this, I know this happened in a movie. There was a movie that LeBron played himself in where he was complaining that there was no Wi-Fi at a Starbucks or something like
right.
that. But I think that's been reported on. Like, LeBron is legitimately showing up places like, what's the Wi-Fi?
Right.
Like that to me, if you are, LeBron is a billionaire.
Yeah.
He can pick up the extra data, right? Like if it costs him an extra $100 to stream via data, he can afford that, but he's looking for Wi-Fi.
I think it's,
you know, there's,
I don't mind that where I've got some guys, some buddies that are wealthy. That's ingrained from them, like from childhood.
Right.
Where their parents are very humble. They're humble. They're not cheap, but frugal, like smart with their money.
There's the old saying, if you take care of the nickels and dimes, the dollars will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's, if that's, right. this is quite
that
literally.
George Bush, I never heard that saying.
There's an old saying. And
we are addressing the nation today.
There's one for you. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I love that. But yeah, like there are guys that I think when you meet somebody, some people like to wear their money. Some people like to flash it, have toys. Other people that are wealthy. Like that Bill Gates doesn't look like he walks around in a sweater.
He does. Like he's got no styles. Like he's just a nerd. But like his compound is outrageous.
Amazing. Yeah.
Who's the other really rich guy?
Zuckerberg?
The old guy down in the States.
Oh, Warren Buffett.
No, yeah, Warren Buffett.
Yeah, Warren Buffett.
He's lived in the same house for like 50 years.
Yeah.
He's in Omaha, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like one of the wealthiest guys on the planet.
Yes, he's one of the five richest guys on the planet. He goes through McDonald's drive-thru like every day on the way to work. He owns Coca-Cola, so he's always drinking Coke and stuff.
Yeah.
But I believe he lives in the same house that he has lived in for 50 years. And
he's
if you drove by it, you're like, man, it's a, you know, like it's a nice house. But like Bill Gates is, he's got a compound.
Yeah, he's got his own plane. He's got all of those things.
He's got a compound.
There's some people that wear their wealth or flash it around.
Right.
And guys like Buffett, like you wouldn't know.
Wouldn't have a clue. Because money, it doesn't matter. It's a game for him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's worth billions and billions. He's never going to spend them.
Yeah.
He, I believe, donates a lot of the money that he's made, and he's just looking for that next dollar.
Yeah. Berkshire Hathaway is his
Berkshire
company.
Hathaway. They own, like, a ton of different companies.
Yeah, everything.
But, yeah, and that can be deceptive, too, right? Some people, you're like, wow, that guy must be loaded. No. He just put everything into that one suit, right? Or the car. He's got a $150,000 car, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, that is look at Zach Greinke, a man of principle.
It is outrageous.
$277 million career earnings.
That's where
Gwak can't do it, man. Can't do it. All right, Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. He's ready to go. Let's bring him in here. How are we doing, Pierre? Has he been ready for a while? Sorry about that, Pierre.
No, it's okay. Like the last 6 minutes of your show is like when Costanza and Seinfeld went to NBC and said, "We want to do a show about nothing."
Yes, that's what we do. It's a show about nothing.
Literally what just happened.
Yeah, there was nothing of substance in there. Like SportsCenter is not combing over that, wondering if they could play anything later in the hour. But that's why we bring you in. You're an esteemed gentleman. And we had a trade last night, Pierre. We had a trade in the NHL. Colorado going out there and moving. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit piece. Yeah. But like Colorado's a team you got to circle, don't you, Pierre? Like they're going to get in the mix in some capacity, and it wouldn't be shocking if they went big game hunting.
Big time, yeah, I think so. And I actually talked about them on Insider Trading, which will air shortly on SportsCenter. But what the heck, let's spill the beans now. And one of the things that I wanted to figure out today was that where does Gabriel Landeskog fit in all this? He hasn't played this year, as you guys know. And there are people around the league that I talked to this week that were starting to say, wait a minute, is this like their Kucherov this year and he's not going to show up till the playoffs and now they have $7 million to spend? And I made some inquiries today and the answer was absolutely not. The Avalanche can't wait for this guy to come back and believe that he'll be back by early March, very much way before the end of the regular season. So there's none of that stuff happening. But it's important to figure that out because he's a $7 million player, and because he will be back before the end of the regular season and his $7 million salary, they're actually pretty tight against the cap. They still want to act. They're a creative team. You know, they're like the Lightning. They find ways no matter what the cap says, like the Leafs in terms of adding. There's no doubt in my mind they want to add in their top six or at least their top nine. They lost Kadri and Burakovsky in the offseason. It's funny, we talk a lot about the impact of losing Naz and Kadri, which is gigantic for that cup champion team. Burakovsky's having a heck of a year in Seattle, too. Like they lost two key guys there from that second line and really didn't replace them. So they're going to try and look at what's out there. Listen, I think they're going to keep tabs right to the end on guys like O'Reilly and Horvat, etc. But I think the Avs have traded away so many future assets the last couple of years and the trades they've made that they may have to go a little lower. And the guy that I mentioned on Insider Trading this evening was keep an eye on Sean Monahan. If Sean Monahan, you know, plays as well as he was before he got hurt and he's about to return here soon, I think he would fit the type of player that the Avalanche have on their list. Doesn't mean they'll end up with him, but when you want to link players and fits, I think he'd be a fit in Colorado.
Is it a foregone conclusion, in your opinion, that Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane will be moved from Chicago? I mean, Kane, it seems like a lock, but Jonathan Toews, do you think there'd be a marketplace for him and try and squeeze him in the cap somewhere?
And what about together?
Oh, I think, I don't think about together. Only reason is O'Dog and Noodles is that, you know, they both have $10.5 million cap hits. So
right.
Together, even with broker teams, my brain would explode trying to figure that out. But there's a huge market for Kane. There is a need, you know, a market for Toews in a couple places. We're asking the wrong question, though, is whether they actually want to go anywhere. I'm not sure whether or not Toews does yet.
Okay.
I think Kane, it would really have to be specific to certain teams that he would wait for. Remember, these two players control everything, full no move clauses. The other thing with Kane, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago in Insider Trading, and I didn't want to raise eyebrows too much, but it's just something to file away. You know, he missed a few games with something that's nagging. He's come back. I don't know whether it's nagging enough that it could reoccur and could influence how he feels about getting moved. So just file that away as far as his health. But to this point, I know from hearing today, Kane and Taze, both represented by Pat Brisson. I think they're waiting till post All-Star break to sort of reconvene and see how everyone feels about the trade deadline.
With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. So the Canucks, a week ago, the hierarchy in Vancouver admits major surgery is needed. Got to have major surgery. But Andre Kuzmenko will apparently not be included in that. And he's had a really good year. They recruited him heavily, but they gave him a two-year deal at $5.5 million. There's a limited no trade in there. How make this make sense for us, Pierre, how all this surgery needs to happen, yet they gave JT Miller money, they gave Mikheyev money, now they're giving Kuzmenko money. It's not a foregone conclusion Horvat's out of there. Maybe they continue to negotiate with him. Like, at some point, someone cannot get paid, and someone's got to go in Vancouver. Is that not true, or can they find money from, you know, cap space that we didn't know existed?
No, they'll be moving bodies out between March 3rd and this offseason. You know, Kuzmenko is interesting because that was far from a guarantee they could get that done. And actually, to be honest, what it tells you, interestingly, given all the drama in Vancouver this year, is that it's the player himself that made this happen. Andre Kuzmenko didn't want to go anywhere. He loves it in Vancouver after coming over from the KHL. And I know from talking to teams that they felt his price tag on the open market. He's a point-of-game player, a pretty dynamic player, was $6 million at least on the open market. He signed for $5.5 million in Vancouver. So he really made that happen. The Canucks would have wanted him even a bit cheaper, but I know that his agent's original asking price was higher, and they kind of found the middle. But I'm just saying that's an interesting thing, because when we look from afar, from three time zones away here, guys, you kind of wonder how many players are, what kind of, how they're enjoying the season in Vancouver with the coach fired, you know, coach twisting in a win and all this stuff happening. The captain hasn't been signed. And here's a guy saying, you know what, I know there's a lot going on, but I don't want to go anywhere. So I thought that was actually really the headline on that signing. The other thing is, it's just a two-year deal. I think it would have been problematic for me if they threw another 6 to 7 year deal at someone else. They didn't do that. So it's a short extension. I don't think this contract's a problem at all. He's a good player. Horvat is Horvat's the story. When they last made him an offer, I think it was late November, early December, you know, not only was it not accepted, but I don't even know that Horvat was in a position where he wanted to negotiate during the season like a lot of guys are, right? I think the Canucks are going to take another
one. Everybody
looks
at everything, Pierre.
Yeah. Well, and I think the Canucks will try one last time, whether or not they're able to, you know, to bridge that gap. Otherwise, he is dealt, and you can say what you want, but and I know the Canucks are retooling, not rebuilding, but that's a lot of goals out the door if they got a deal Bo Horvat out there.
Where do you think he ends up here? I know they've tried to eliminate people kicking tires. Like, what makes the most sense, and who do you think is set on getting this guy?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I talked to a team this week, O-Dog. I got to be careful here. I talked to a team this week that I felt could be among the teams that would make sense for him. And they said, listen, yeah, of course we like Bo Horvat. Who doesn't? But what the Canucks want in return right now, we can't get into that. And again, they want a young center and a young defender as part of a multi-asset package on top of probably a first-round pick. The guy's a rental player right now.
But, Pierre, why do teams do that? Why don't they just try to make a deal that makes sense for both parties instead of, like, who the hell says we want a young centerman? Like,
well, because we're not March 3rd, right? I mean, this is the poker game, is that what you're asking for now is not necessarily what you'll end up getting. And so I don't mind that the Canucks are starting high. It's just that at some point they'll have to be more realistic, probably. The point I was going to make, though, is they haven't yet, and may not, who knows, given permission to Horvat's camp, led by Pat Morris of Newport Sports, permission to speak directly to the teams. And I get it, because sometimes teams feel that when the agent becomes involved, there's too much lost control of the process. In other words, basically the agent just picks the team, right? Mm-hmm. But having said that, if Bo Horvat is signed to an extension as part of the trade, you're getting more in return if you're the Vancouver Canucks. So I think that's something they got to think of eventually. I mean, you know, you think of the Matthew Tkachuk trade situation last summer as a great example. Like, you know, the Flames didn't have to involve an extension, but they got more in return by allowing Newport Sports to get involved, pick the Panthers, and have Panthers sign Matthew Tkachuk. Or I guess it was Calgary who signed him, but in order to trade him to that big extension.
With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, regardless of what happens between now and March 3rd, Pierre, can you picture a scenario where we wake up on March 4th and think there's a team that has the same ability to go on a cup run as the Boston Bruins? Like, let's assume the Bruins don't do anything significant, but other teams around them do significant moves. Because right now it feels like it's Bruins versus the field. Do you think that could change between now and March 4th?
I think I agree with that sentiment. I still love a healthy Colorado if they make one move. And the other team that I would say that, even though I know they want to make a move, but just given what they've done and how they look again, is Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa's core is back again and they're playing great. Like, you know, I think they're playing each other tonight, by the way, Tampa and Boston.
But yeah, it'll be a good game.
If you're trying to force me to pick a team where I have confidence that I know they show up when it's the playoffs, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning, who don't have as many assets to use up, by the way, before the trade deadline compared to the Leafs or the Bruins. By the way, I was thinking today, since it's pretty much locked in, Tampa and Toronto, wouldn't it be great if we could just eliminate the last month of the regular season for the Leafs and Lightning and make it like a best of 30?
Absolutely. Those two teams? Just play.
Let's just have them play for 6 weeks.
All day.
And see who comes up on top.
Yeah, every other night.
Yeah. Tampa-Toronto. Tampa-Toronto.
I played junior. Like,
it's
I
coming.
I my first year junior in the Western League, like late 80s. There was like a best of 9. You play best of 9. It wasn't even best of 7.
Let's bring in here. Let's petition. Jeff, Saturday, move aside. We've got a new petition.
Let me ask you guys this. You know, I'm going to contradict my point here about the importance of the Leafs finishing ahead of the Lightning. You know, the Leafs had home ice last year and lost Game 7 at home. But now that the Leafs have found, I asked Sheldon Keefe this yesterday at the media availability, the fact that, and he agreed, that he probably has more confidence than he's ever had since he's been Leafs coach, in his top six flexibility, as far as now that he's had, you know, Nylander and Matthews play together for a couple months and have success. Now he's gone back to Marner, Matthews, you know, Tavares and Marner, Tavares, Nylander. There's an ability to make it more difficult now on Tampa matchup-wise that maybe didn't exist in reality. Maybe existed, you know, that's what people want to say. But in true reality, with the season on the line, I think the Leafs have more flexibility with their stars than they had a year ago. And when it comes to Tampa and home ice and last line change, Anthony Cirelli is a guy that John Cooper wants to put on the people that really scare him the most for Toronto. And now I think the Leafs have a couple of different looks that they actually believe in. And I wonder from that perspective how much you believe home ice still matters or not in that series.
Well, that seems to be the only battle at this point, the only race, you know, unless they're fighting over the same player or players come the deadline, you know, it's going to come down to who ends up with home ice between now and the end of the year. We'll leave it there, Pierre. Thank you for doing this,
buddy.
Before
we get out of here, Pierre, would you like to cut Dak Prescott or continue moving forward with him?
No way, baby. Fabulous year, 13-5, played hard in San Fran, but lost to the team that I picked. Lost to the team that I picked, as Hayes knows, in September to win the Super Bowl. I picked the San Francisco 49ers.
All right. Well, there you go. You can have your cake and eat it, too. That's like, it's such a hedge, right? Cowboys, they lost, but they lost to the team I thought would win anyway. So it works out beautifully for you. It's all good.
Love my Cowboys.
It's all good. Thank you, Pierre. There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, listen, the Cowboys and Dak, I guess Jerry Jones is saying now he wants Mike McCarthy to be his coach longer than Tom Landry was the coach. And Landry was the coach for like 20 years
or
something.
Tom Landry was awesome.
Yeah, but he fired everyone around him.
Yeah, listen, it's not going to happen. Mike McCarthy is not going to be there for 20 years. But, you know, Pierre's right. Like, the Niners, that doesn't come up enough when you start focusing on a loss. Generally, it goes to the team that lost as opposed to the team that won. Niners were a better team, and they were, and they deserve to win. And I think it'll be a great game this weekend in Philly. We got to flip a coin in the next segment to see who's picking who.
Got to get a coin. Anybody?
We'll find a coin. We have coins. Yeah, yeah, we've got coins.
I have them at home.
We got a coin, so we're going to flip
coins
a coin.
In those stupid trophies on the desk in front of the
is
class.
There? Okay, yeah. Nice, yeah. Nice.
We'll flip a coin. We'll make a determination on who's picking what game. Or do you want to put names in a hat? We'll figure it out during the break.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we got to establish some rules here for what we're going to do leading up to the Super Bowl, right?
I think kind of like Noodles drawing names out of a hat.
Okay. Let's do that. We'll make that happen. TSN 1050 wants you to be our unofficial correspondent at the Waste Management Open in Arizona. The first caller through right now at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. With the correct keyword announced this morning on First Up, wins a $100 Golf Town gift card and qualifies for the grand prize draw. First Up with Karolnik and Koliakova will be calling our grand prize winner Friday, February 3rd. Full contest details available at tsn1050.ca. Back into the NFL, our best bets brought to you by FanDuel later this hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Because baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done.
All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by FanDuel later this hour. Seeing some disappointing videos online of my buddy Bill Zalatoris.
Yes.
Who I love. I love Will Zalatoris.
Yep.
Dude, just Joe from the Bridge has it. You have to see it. It's insane.
This guy, but as you know, inside 5 feet, he does not miss. Right. He doesn't miss putts. He's got the worst putting stroke I've ever seen. Not from
Hayes,
a tour player. A chop at
a
Don
human.
Valley's
from
got
a, human.
A smoother...
You've seen things in life where whatever the scenario is, you've said to yourself, whether it's somebody drinking or anything, you're like, that's going to lead to big time problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's whatever he's doing somewhere down the line is going to lead to a massive problem.
I agree. There's no way he's confident lining up, you know, putts inside 5 feet. Like, even from distance, it's wonky.
Right.
But someone sent us the video, and it doesn't even, you don't even have to, you don't see him. You don't see his shoes. You don't.
No.
If you saw his pants, you'd know it was him, because he's got the tightest pants on tour right now.
Dude, I saw one tweet while that stroke was going on saying, that's the Hideo Nomo of putting strokes.
Yeah. It's
like,
gross. It's
it
gross.
Is outrageous.
But he's a great player. All right, so we got Robert Turbin coming up here in just a moment. But first, what we're going to do is, Noodles, you've won a lot of awards in your life. That's probably the one that's most prestigious right in front of you. The Elmer Fudd, we came up with that. That's 4 years ago now.
Is it that long ago? 2019, yeah.
Yeah, it's 4 years ago where you put that up so the camera can see.
Okay.
Look at that. And that's a beautiful trophy right there, the Elmer Fudd.
Yeah.
Which
I said half chance on one of the broadcasts. You guys dared me. It wasn't even a dare. It was like a word.
Yeah, we were getting into
it. It was your assignment.
It was
right.
My assignment.
You know what? I think it was based on Stephen Caldwell. We were listening to Stephen call like a TFC game, and he was dropping top bins and half chance. And we said, can we bring that to the hockey world? And you won that. So what we're going to do is flip a coin for who gets first pick.
Okay.
And then the names of the games are in the Elmer Fudd Award. So whoever gets it, you'll pick it. That'll be their game. And then obviously the team that doesn't win the coin toss will get the other game.
Okay.
So, do you want to call it before it gets flipped?
And I'm...
It's just straight up heads, tails, right?
Yeah, it's heads or tails.
Hold on, and I'm going to let it go on the ground?
Sure, you do whatever you want.
And we'll just call it out after that.
And I don't want Hayes saying anything, because I honestly don't trust. I just want Noodles to make the call. I call heads.
Okay,
here
heads it is.
Heads it is. I'm going to throw it.
There it is.
Okay, I'm going to track it down.
You're tracking it down. Noodles, what do you have?
Tails.
It is tails. All right, it is tails.
I hate it. I hate not being in the facility.
Hold on a second.
I hate it.
Is it all good? Because there was a little bit of a distraction.
Well,
it took you a while.
I don't have my glasses on. I can't even tell. This is a toonie. That's a bear or something.
Yeah, so that's a tails.
That's the tails because heads is on the other side.
Yeah, that's right.
Tails.
You have Charles on the other side. Is he on that yet?
Are we doing that?
Is Charles going to be on all the coins now?
I have no idea.
And all the money?
I have no idea.
Can we avoid that? Like, why do we need his face?
We don't need it.
We don't need it. Put someone
else
on.
All I saw was there was a bear.
That's tails.
So that's the
tails. All right, so
tails.
It's tails, which means, all that means, though, is the first game that comes out, that's our game.
Yeah.
We don't, okay. I don't know which one it's going to be.
Oh, so you're not hand selecting?
No, I'm not selecting.
Oh, got it.
That
okay,
was just to determine who gets the first pick here.
And then
the order.
I just pull out.
You're pulling it out, and
one of
be
two
careful.
Games, right?
Yes, there's two games in there. Pull one of them out, read it off, and that will be what Team Luke Bryan picks. Team Al Dog will obviously pick the other game.
Okay, so here it is, unfolding. Eagles versus 49ers.
Ooh, that's a layup, dude.
That means you guys are on the Mahomes game and no one knows.
Yeah.
Eagles Niners for Luke Bryan.
And then, yeah, just making sure.
Making sure it's not the Pro Bowl or a CFL game.
Exactly.
Making sure.
Chiefs versus Bengals.
There you go. There. All right, Team Al Dog. You think our game's a layup? How is our game a layup?
Dude, I'm telling you right now, amateur opinion. The Eagles are not getting enough love. I think the Eagles spanked the 49ers.
Spanked the 49ers. I don't think anyone spanks the 49ers.
But don't let this guy talk and get into
your
head.
He's not going to mess with my head, dude. It ain't going to happen. But I do. It's a tough game. I think both games are tough. You've noticed the line has now moved back towards the Chiefs. The Chiefs
Noodles,
are favored by a point.
Just get this question ready for Monday, Noodles. Yes. I just want you to say, did the Eagles spank the 49ers or not? And I'll love to answer it.
I don't think the Niners can be spanked. The way that they play, how tough they are, how good they are defensively, they can lose, and they may not cover. Absolutely, the Eagles absolutely could win by a touchdown, but that's not spanking them. Like how would you define a spanking? A double-digit win?
By 14, like by 10
I think
more.
10 or more?
I honestly think on Monday I will address the nation at 4:02 p.m., and it'll be the spanking in Philly.
Okay.
There has to be...
the spanking in
the
Philly.
The addressing of the nation, there has to be, like, he has to sit at the O desk or something. There's got to be some... It's almost like Trump or...
Yeah,
you know, Biden or them behind the podium.
Right.
And you
address. Well, remember, like,
I'll
Trudeau.
Do it right from here. I'll get a little wooden box made with a little presidential logo and a microphone. I'll get a little half box made.
Yeah.
You have to.
And I will address the nation.
You need a podium to address the nation.
That's
I'm getting a fake one that sits right on my desk. It's just like a foot high, and it's got a microphone, and it says Overdrive on the front.
I love that idea. Yeah. Okay. And it has to be portable, though, right? You need to be able to get it out of the way. You just bring it in when you want to address the nation. It can't be up there for 3 hours every day.
Yeah,
you know, it's selective because you can't address the nation. Like, that was the wild stuff about, like, COVID was crazy on so many different levels.
Yes,
but like Trudeau was speaking every day. He was coming
out.
Yeah, he was coming out. Remember the doors? He'd be watching the doors for half an hour. You're like, when's he coming out?
Yeah,
and he'd come out and he'd say what he had to say. That's addressing the nation.
Yeah,
dude, every
we
single
all addressed
day.
The nation for almost a year because we did a sports show for 3 hours a day
with no
sports.
Yeah. That was a show about nothing.
Oh my!
Seinfeld's
God.
Got nothing on us, man. You go find the Spring of 20 tapes. Those should be in a museum somewhere.
Back through those.
There's got to be some segments that were because we tried to get creative. You know, we'd come up with different elements, different angles, different lists, different
Dude,
games.
We were talking about sports commentators commenting on porn at one time. Like,
yeah,
that's what we
Joe
were
Buck.
That was Joe Buck. People were requesting that Joe Buck did play-by-play on their sex tape.
Yeah,
and he had to address the nation and say, "Stop sending me stuff. Yes, like it's getting really crazy here." All right, we have a former NFLer on the line, former teammate of my guy, Luke Wilson, my main man, Luke Wilson.
Yeah, let's get some dirt.
Well, I don't want that because he's my guy. I don't need him being in the wrong headspace leading into the championship weekend. But here's former NFLer. You hear him on SiriusXM. Here's Robert Turbin. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing well. There won't be any dirt shared on my man, Luke Wilson. All right, we don't need that.
Okay.
On radio out there in Toronto.
Okay.
What about bicycles? Does he ride bicycles like he says he does, or is that just like it's fake? It's not real.
No, he put the weights down. He put the weights down and put a different helmet on. It's a bicycle helmet, and that's what he looks like these days.
Yeah, he's a big superstar up here, man. I'm sure you're aware of that. We love him. We have him on all the time, and. He's a big personality, and he loves the Seahawks. Like, we make picks every week, and he cannot get past picking the Seahawks. Do you have the same tendencies when it comes to your former teams? Like, you just, even if objectively, if you can get there, you think they're going to lose, you just can't bring yourself to actually admit it, and you end up picking them winning.
My confession is I only pick the Seahawks when I'm in Seattle.
Okay.
I feel fourth. If I'm not in Seattle, then you know I'll be a little bit more more open about how I really feel about the team that week. But of course, you know, we play for Seattle, so I wouldn't necessarily you know define myself as a fan of the team, but certainly a supporter of the team. But you know, just like Luke, we've got guys on other teams as well. We support them also.
Okay, I understand that, and I'm curious if you can take us behind the scenes on what would be happening in Kansas City this week, because we're all aware of Mahomes and what's up with him and the high ankle sprain. Would Andy Reid address the rest of the team and let everyone know, like, do not say a peep, like, don't talk to the media, don't tell your family? Like, if he's really injured and they're trying to keep that from getting out, how do his teammates have to handle that news, and what are the coaches relaying to them?
Well, that's usually something that you address at the start of the season. You know, what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. What happens inside this building stays in this building. And usually coaches will address, you know, the injury aspect of that. Like, look, anytime throughout the year, whether it's, you know, OTAs, whether it's training camp, whenever it is, you know, that information doesn't get out without it being permitted. So I don't think that's something that he's addressing necessarily this week. I'm sure that's been something that's been installed throughout the whole year with that franchise and really most of them, the ones that do things the right way.
As a former running back, who do you think's the best running back left in the playoffs?
Oh, good question. The best running back left in the playoffs. Wow. You know, I'm going to have to – well, that's a good one. I'm going to have to lean towards Christian McCaffrey, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's, you know, we know that he's had his injuries and things like that, but you see the boost that he's given the 49ers since he was traded over there from the Panthers. Just another dynamic player who can do it all, run, catch, and let's not forget pass protection, which is something that we ignore because it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. But when you watch him on film, he has the ability and the capabilities to not only recognize where certain exotic blitzes are coming from, but then have the physicality then to be able to protect his quarterback. If you watch, like, the Bengals, for example, you know, Joe Mixon comes out in those situations because the backup running back, Samaje Perine, is a better pass protector. So, you know, therefore, you don't have all the aspects to the game that you need as a runner. And that bodes for some of the other guys that are left. So I got to go with Christian McCaffrey.
What do you think happens in Philly when Sam Fran visits there on Sunday?
bro, they're going to play a football game. You know, it's going to be a hostile environment for the 49ers. I'll say this. I've been saying it probably since the midway point of the season, maybe like week 8 or week 9. You know, the 49ers, and this is when the 49ers really started surging, too. You know, I said they're better than every NFC team except the Eagles. I felt like they were better than everybody in the playoffs in the NFC except the Eagles. So I think they're going to meet their match this weekend on the road in Philly. Hopefully, they don't start throwing beers or anything at them.
No, yeah. I know, but results-wise, what do you think the final result of that game is?
He wants you to say Eagles big. That's what he wants.
No,
you to say.
Don't try to get him trending and like. Don't try to put ideas in. I want to know what you think happens. That's what I was trying to get to. That's what I meant. What's the result on Sunday?
Yeah, no, I think the Eagles win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch of the imagination. I think the 49ers are too good of a football team for that, but like I said, you know, they met their match. Like, if you think about all the things that we talk about with the 49ers and what they do great, they have a great defense, they have a great defensive line. Well, the Eagles are just a little bit better on the defensive line. You can argue their linebacker position because the 49ers have Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, but then you move back to the back end and the secondary, and the 49ers, they got a decent secondary, but you know, all in all, the Eagles are just a little bit better. You know, their quarterback, probably a lot better than Brock Purdy and what they have in San Francisco. You know, I just talked about Christian McCaffrey being the best running back left in the playoffs, but this Eagles run game is no slouch, right? They got one of the better running games in all of the National Football League, and then you know, they match up at the wide receiver position as well as far as weapons are concerned. And you could argue that, you know, the Eagles are just a little bit better at that spot, you know. And so, to me, it's the Eagles on top. They're going to win this football game. Score-wise, I don't know, but I think it'll be a close game.
All right, we're chatting with Robert Turbin of SiriusXM, longtime NFLer, former teammate of our boy Luke Wilson's. And I heard Deebo Samuel. I don't know why players are doing this. Trevor Lawrence did it before they went up to Kansas City, and Deebo has basically said the same thing verbatim. He's like, we're not worried about the noise and the atmosphere in Philly. We know our stadium is the loudest, or something along those lines. Can you speak some sense into Deebo? Because I'm sure you played in Philly. Like, the reputation of Philly fans and an Eagles playoff game, it's insane there. What do you think the Niners are walking into?
Yeah, well, I played a playoff game. It was a wild card game in 2020 in Philly. And, you know, it was wild. You know, you might get some Philly cheesesteaks thrown at your helmet. You just never know. You never know Philly crowd. I mean, somebody that, you know, you'll get fans who go to the game just to get kicked out. Like, hey, I'm getting kicked out today because I'm going to do something outlandish. So you're not going to see that in Santa Clara is really where they play their games. Okay, it's much more of a corporate atmosphere, and it doesn't get, you know, loud and rowdy like it does in Philly. So he'll see. He's a young player still. You know, he still has a lot to learn, and he'll learn on Sunday what Philly is all about.
Absolutely.
There's a jail in the stadium.
Yes.
Just think about that. There's a jail in the stadium.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. That sends a pretty clear message of what we can expect, I think, on Sunday. Great catching up with you, Robert. We really appreciate you doing this. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, fellas. Take care. Thank you.
You got it. Robert Turbin of SiriusXM, NFL analyst, former NFLer, former Seahawk as well. Yeah, he likes the Eagles. He didn't say by a blowout, but he likes the Eagles. That's got me thinking. I don't know. I got to talk to my partner, see where we're at.
I think San Fran, but maybe
I've been on the Niners. Like last week, I must have said 20 times Niners by a touchdown against Dallas, and that's how it played out. It could have gone either way, but the Niners did win. They did cover.
Do you believe in Purdy, though?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like in
if
that
you
environment,
believe in the Niners. Rocky Balboa had this to say to Clubber Lang right at the center of the ring. Go for it.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see.
Go for it.
We don't have to make that announcement until tomorrow. I will speak with my counsel before we make that decision. I think as for what we're going to do Super Bowl week, we were talking about this.
Yeah.
I think we picked one team picks the game, like the spread. One team picks the total.
Yeah.
And then we do a game prop, like a player prop, and also like a non-playing prop. In other words, length of the anthem. You know, what's Rihanna wearing? Something like that. So that we add a couple of different elements for the Super Bowl, because that's going to probably decide the season, right? So even if you win and we lose, or we win and you lose this week, Super Bowl is where it's really going to be determined what happens.
But that could determine who wins, or like what Rihanna's
what
wearing.
What Gatorade is spilled
like
on
how,
the coast.
Yeah, how long
Well, maybe we don't have to. We'll talk. But something along those lines. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think so. Game, spread, total, couple props.
Oh, we'll get the whole thing dialed in.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. All right? All of it courtesy of FanDuel. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, today's best bets are brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Looking at the NHL board tonight. Tampa, you got to pay a little bit of juice. You got to pay more for Boston on the road. I know Boston never loses, but you give me Tampa big game at home and good odds, basically a pick 'em, I think it's a safe bet. I think it's a smart bet.
Be a good game.
I think it'll be a great game tonight. I like over the number Detroit-Montreal tonight, and Jeff Skinner over a half point tonight, paying some juice. Skinner's had a great year, man.
Really?
He's putting up big numbers, Jeff Skinner.
We talked about the two-headed monster there with Tuck and Thompson. Somebody wrote in, which I agree with, Dylan Cousins.
Yes.
Really nice player.
That
really
kid, they've player. Been yeah. waiting for that. And it's
workhorse from Whitehorse.
There you go.
He's a good kid.
Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. So we'll have to find out tomorrow what the actual pick is. We're not going to announce anything today.
Right.
But I sent a text to my partner, and he came back adamant on one team.
San Fran. I'm saying
adamant.
He's all over San Fran. That's what I would bet.
We'll see.
But no way. No way.
He's not that stupid. Eagles guy?
He's not that stupid, and I know he's going with the Eagles.
What about Al's brother? Have you heard from him yet, or is he asleep somewhere?
He's in the hot tub.
He's probably asleep.
He's in the hot tub.
I don't know if he can go against ankle plus Joey Burrow equals Bengals.
Yeah, you guys are taking the Bengals all day. Like, we don't need to waste time.
Dude, you're not the boss of us. You're not the boss of us, and you like to plant seeds, and we will address the nation tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
As a squad, we'll put you in the middle box, and then we'll have the four boxes on the outside. We'll have it all cooking.
Yeah, I can't wait.
We do need a segment called Address the Nation. Like, it's just a weekly news bit.
It's whatever you want. Whenever you have to get something off your chest regarding the Leafs, regarding sports, you address the nation.
We need a podium guy, though. Like, who can we reach out to that's got an inside track on some podiums?
Dude, you just go into the Sports Center podium and put a drape over one of them or something.
Yeah, but we need it available at the show.
No, like churches. Don't, like, priests and all that, don't they have, like, a podium up there?
Yeah, it's not, it's like a...
There's got to be one down by Studio 6. There used to be, like, a whole church scene down there. There's got to be a podium.
That's right, there was that. Like, there used to be, like, a church...
Yeah, it was in the back of the studio. Yeah, it was like the TSN hockey desk got moved away, and all of a sudden there was gowns, like, and the whole nine was down.
It was there. Like a TV church, whatever, like, group would come in and film, like, you know, Billy Graham or whatever, those guys, like the TV church.
People. Really? Like a Sunday morning program?
I don't know when they taped it. Oh, I don't know how many times you walked by it. There would be a full setup.
I never saw that.
It, like, was tucked against the back wall. It was a church. Setup.
Okay, but listen, I'm not overly religious. We can't steal, you know.
I'm not religious.
I understand that, but we're not stealing something. We'll just
bring
something.
It in here.
Dude, okay. That's what we do. We go back and do the Harry and Lloyd pictures at the church across the street like we did before, and then we just...
What did we do? Oh, that was for our trip to Vegas.
Yeah, that's when we had people getting married in Vegas, and we were out there for that. Okay, we'll figure it out. We'll get on the podium. I'm sure, you know, people behind the scenes, this will be a high priority within the company. Yeah. Sure, somehow this will get taken.
And by the way, it'll also never happen.
That's
the King Daddy topper of it. It's like, we come up with an idea, it's a great one, then it just fizzles out because nobody can.
Right. This is what we're asking people. Can you help us find one? And it will just be, nothing happened.
If this was SportsCenter, it would be there tomorrow morning. But us, it's just not going to happen.
We'll never see a podium. We'll never see one. But maybe Joe from the Bridge can get creative with, like, CGI or something.
No, dude, it doesn't matter. It's not important enough. We already know that deal. It's probably already over.
It's probably a bit that's already dead. It never came alive.
I'm telling you, it's like the first one alive.
It's like everything. It's
in a hearse. That bit's in a hearse right now.
Yes.
It's already in a hearse.
Yes.
We actually researched buying a hearse.
Yeah, we did. We could get one for $3,000. We found one for $3,000.
I know.
And it was going to break the budget.
The sad thing is, the podium's $100. You can get a wooden podium on Kijiji for $100. But I'm not buying it, and I'm not doing it, so it's dead. No one else is going to do
it. Yeah,
it's gone. It's dead.
It's already dead.
We know people that build things. Somebody will build us a podium.
We probably could with, like, some cardboard or something.
Yeah,
we could get, like,
cardboard.
Oh, you got older kids. Put them to work. They're probably capable of... Get three pieces of cardboard.
Put them together.
And tape it together.
Dude,
right?
My kids will be with me this weekend, and if I said to them, can you guys grab some cardboard and make a podium, they would throw their iPhones at me and say, get lost and get a life. Yeah. We're not doing that.
I'm going to order some food in, but before you guys do that, can we make a podium out of these pizza boxes?
Yeah.
Amazon boxes, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would say, no way. They would just say, no
way. Isn't that a shame? I have young kids, and they'd say, no way.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, we both do. They'd say, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, Roblox is too important.
Roblox is very important.
Yeah.
We almost had a battle this morning because my oldest wanted to play Roblox with her cousin because he had a snow day and we didn't, and then that had to be a discussion. It was quite the scene. Someone tweeting in saying it should be called Odress the Nation instead of Address the Nation.
I like
that's possible. That's definitely possible. All right, well, we'll see if we have answers on the podium tomorrow. I'm sure emails are flying.
Dude, don't even bring
sure
it up.
Sure, executives
again.
Are being CC'd. It's probably
it's not,
gone.
Yeah. It's not.
Yeah, it's got it's got nothing left.
No legs.
It was fun. It lasted about 15 minutes. One of our actually more long-standing bits.
Yeah. Dude, it's not even 15 minutes. It was a one-second comment that was probably inappropriate, and we got a little giggle, and that's what we
yep,
got out of it.
It's gone. It'll never come up again.
Never.
All right, picks tomorrow. The Leafs are in action tomorrow. The Raptors are in Golden State. We got a lot cooking tomorrow. We're out of here. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes for all the help. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at...
I will address the nation at...
4 p.m. We'll chat then.